first time we did it, I was scared to death. She snuck out in that cotton dress, jumped on in and we drove to the lake. Put her hand on my knee and said, I can't wait. I had everything we needed in the bed of my truck. Turns out my baby loves to fish. She wants to do it all the time, early in the morning, in the middle of the night. She's hooked, and now she can't get enough. Man, that girl sure loves to fish.
That song don't rhyme.
No, I would have to say that song don't rhyme. All right. Fish and Frank, Captain Josh Olive.
Hi.
We're here. You're hey, there.
It's been a little while.
Yes, it has. All right. I think I got you kind of.
Yeah, I'm a little hot.
Yeah, there you go.
Dial me down. There we go.
Okay. Oh, so what's been going on in the wide world of fishing this week?
Oh, boy. You know, it's been amazing what has happened since the calendar changed from March into April.
All right.
Yeah. It's been. Yeah, I know. It's so weird. It's like it's suddenly spring or something. You know, that water temperature came up a little bit. The fish have been going all over, and it's been lovely out there.
Lovely out there. Now, you as, not as Captain Josh Olive, as Josh the fish coach guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Have been on a lot of boats lately.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of boats. What's been going on out there? What kind of instructional trips have you been doing, and what have you been catching?
Well, it's been a weird mix, and I tell people, here's the thing. When we go on instructional trips, I ask folks what they want to learn, and sometimes the things that they want to learn don't jibe very well with the things that happen to be going on at that particular time, or they want to learn how to do things, but they don't want to go to the places where you can really do those things. So sometimes we don't catch a whole lot on the instructional trips. And I tell people ahead of time, sometimes on the instructional trips, we do really well catching fish. And sometimes, depending what you want to learn in the areas we're going to go to, you might not catch much at all. But you're going to come away learning something. And, you know, learning is always the key stuff. In what we've been doing this past week has been a little bit frustrating for some people because they're going out to learn how to do certain things and not being prepped to do some other things that we've had opportunities to do. Like, for example, not being ready to catch the tarpon that come up and start rolling around the boat down there in the Gasparilla Sound area.
What happened to your cute little logo on the website? You had the little fish coach logo card looking thing, and
I didn't take anything off. It's got to be there someplace.
Not that I'm aware of.
So, well, I don't know.
Anyway, I was just looking on fishcoach.net for. I was going to get the little fish.
Oh, there he is. Look at him. There he is. I can see him from here.
Yes. Okay. I was trying to save that because I was going to put that next to the show so people could click on it and go to there.
You're all right, Frank.
So, anyway, so not all the time is it a great fish catching experience, great fish learning experience, but not all the time great fish catching.
Right, and that's been kind of the way that it's been going this week, because we've been going out and doing things that aren't
really... Okay, what did somebody want to do that really just wasn't going to work this week?
So, for example, somebody wanted to learn how to bottom fish. They wanted to learn how to go out and catch grouper and snapper. And they had heard me talk about the porgy rig. They wanted to see a porgy rig in action. I said, okay, great, we can do that. But they didn't want to actually go out in the Gulf of Mexico. They didn't want to spend time out there reef fishing. And I said, well, okay, that's going to make it a little bit challenging, but I think that we can figure something out.
All right, anyway, I'm kind of getting confused here. You actually go out with people and you're teaching them this stuff. They wanted to go out and learn how to bottom fish, but didn't want to go into the Gulf of Mexico. They wanted to stay in the harbor.
That is correct.
Bottom fish?
Yes, sir. They wanted to, well, it was one of multiple different things that they wanted to learn how to do in a day. You know, they wanted to learn how to work a topwater plug. Okay, great. We'll learn how to work a topwater plug. It's bright and sunny. We're probably not going to catch too many fish working a topwater plug on a bright sunny day, but I will have you walking that dog in a fairly short period of time, which we did. And one of the things they wanted to learn how to do was bottom fish, but they didn't want to go out and go out into the Gulf. It was just going to take too long. It was too far of a ride. It was a little bit breezier than they wanted to do. Fine. No problem. So we rigged up some porgy rigs with some little teeny tiny hooks, and we went over to the Alligator Creek Reef with little teeny tiny baits, and we started catching pinfish and we started catching little grunts. And they learned how to bottom fish, catching little teeny tiny fish. And I told them, when you hook into a big grouper, this is going to be basically the same way. The bite is going to feel basically the same, except it's just going to be bigger. And the fish is going to be bigger, and he's going to dive down towards the bottom. But once you learn how to do this, how you feel the bite, how you start lifting with the rod, how you just reel rather than jerking the rod upwards and trying to set the hook into these fish, you can do this just on a bigger scale. When you get out there into the Gulf of Mexico and you start fishing on the reefs, it'll be a little bit different because the rod in your hands is going to be bigger, the line's going to be bigger, the weight's going to be bigger, the fish is going to be bigger, but the concept is the same.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds good. It sounds logical, reasonable. I mean, I can't think of anything I can disagree with on there, so okay. I would say winner.
Yay! Well, okay. And sometimes this is what it's like being a fish coach, is people want to learn things that aren't necessarily going to get fish at that particular time or in that particular location, right, but figure out how to make it work.
Let's switch gears. What, if you were going to go out, what fish would you like to target this week?
Well, right now, I think I'd be going after tarpon, given a choice, because we've been a little tarpon starved. You know, and those tarpon have rolled back in, and those fish are here. And I would think, before it gets too hot, to go out there and target a tarpon.
All right. Now, if you were going to fish coach your way out there to catch a tarpon, what would be your ideal way to go out? How do you think you'd have the most success?
Well, there's lots of different ways that you could do it right now. We have tarpon literally all over the place. I mean, I talked to some guys who were catching them in the Peace River up past the 75 bridge. I talked to some guys who were out in the Gulf grouper fishing, and they had those fish coming past them.
All right. Now, here, I'm going to fall back. I'm very definitive, very defined question. If Captain Josh Olive, publisher of the Waterline magazine, host of, you know, the fishing, whatever, the radio show you do on Kicks Country 92.9 on Saturday mornings, the fish coach, the charter boat captain, if you were going to pick one where to go and one place to go, where would it be?
So I get to pick the location?
The location, we pick the fish, it's tarpon. What's the location and how would you go about it?
Okay, so the location that I would go to right now would probably be just inside of Boca Grande Pass in the hill area, and I would be throwing, believe it or not, DOA Cal Shads on quarter-ounce jig heads.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any particular color?
Something white or light in color usually works better, but when I carry DOA Cal Shads, I usually have 20 different colors in the bag because you never know what's going to be great on a particular day. And if I've got more than one person on the boat throwing colors, we throw colors that are pretty different until we start getting fish interest. And then we all switch over to that color. Because there are days when, you know, for whatever reason, they really like that root beer instead of going after the white or the chartreuse, which they may have really gone for the day before.
All right. Now, we've picked the place. We're inside of Boca Grande Pass, across the intercoastal, up on what we call the hill.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for tarpon. You're throwing a DOA Cal Shad, quarter-ounce jig head. Color can vary according to water conditions from light to dark. How is the retrieve on this going to work? Are you jigging or are you slow reeling? What's your retrieval method?
So tarpon, just like any other fish, can be a little bit picky. And sometimes, just like they like one color one day and a different color the other day, your retrieve might vary up a little bit based on how those fish happen to be feeling.
All right.
So it's not at all uncommon.
First choice on retrieve.
First choice is going to be not quite as hard as you would bounce it for a ladyfish, but a good jigging, bouncing retrieve. Now, the thing that's difficult about this particular retrieve in these tarpon is you're thinking, well, you know, the fish is 6 feet long, so he's just going to go wham on this lure and I'm gonna know it for sure. And it's nothing like that. It's the teeniest, tiniest little bluegill bite. Just if you've ever caught tarpon on crabs, it's the same way that a lot of times they'll take that crab where you just feel that little tink on your line and that's it. And a lot of times they'll hit it while it's dropping, so you need to feel a little tiny tink on your line while your lure is dropping through the water, so you don't really have that tight of a line. So it requires a specialist feel for being able to hook these fish. A lot of people will hook them better when they're just doing a straight retrieve, even though you can get more fish to bite when you're jigging it along. So, you know, what I'll do is I'll vary it up. And sometimes I'll vary it up on a single cast where I'll retrieve it straight and steady for 15, 20 feet. And then I'll start letting it drop down in the water and bring it back up and drop down in the water. And if I'm not catching fish near the surface, then I'll let that thing sink a lot deeper. And sometimes when the fish are biting closer to the bottom, we switch it over to a half ounce jig head.
Okay. Now, I like all that because it goes along with exactly as I think it should. I'm just, I'm still surprised about the DOA Calshad because it's such a great all-around lure, but surprised me you picked that for tarpon. Do you think it's because of the time of year and they're so keyed in on the glass minnows, bay anchovies, that they're looking for those smaller baits, and you're not going to something like a bait buster or a 16 bomber? Just curious what the thought pattern was behind that much smaller bait than average.
Well, there is a lot of small bait out there right now. And having that small bait, I mean, certainly you want to match the hatch to some degree right. When you've got those little baits out there and they're feeding on those littler fish. But even when we get some of the bigger bait fish in there, they'll still go after those little DOA Calshads. You know, the bite might be great on ladyfish, and you might actually have the fish busting on a school of ladyfish. And in that case, you could choose to throw a ladyfish in there, or a ladyfish imitation in there, or you could go with something little, like that DOA Calshad, which is something that the ladyfish are probably feeding on, but the tarpon are eating those things also.
All right, so that actually, it makes good sense, and I've always maintained you can catch a big fish on a small lure, but you can't. It's very hard to catch a big fish or a small fish on a big lure.
Unless you like catching lizard fish.
Yeah, they'll eat anything.
In which case, use the biggest lure that you can find.
Yes, monster king mackerel spoons for this little 8-inch fish. All right. Now, I put the link up so you can click the Fish Coach logo thing there with the poor little guy trying to fish with a boot or something, and it'll take you right to Josh's site.
No, what that is that is somebody who is a future client who has been catching boots and wants
I'm
to do better.
I'm glad it's not a former client. That's a future client.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
That's someone who hasn't called yet.
All right. Now, what I'm going to go for is your second... Josh the fish coach is going to go out to teach somebody. What would be your number two fish, and where and how?
And again, going with right now?
Yeah, right now. If somebody called you today and they want to go out tomorrow, what would be your number two choice?
Well,
tarpon was your number one.
Somebody has called me, and we are going out tomorrow, and I'll tell you what we're doing. We're going out, and we're going to try some trolling for kingfish. Kingfish have been real good to the south of us. We've been starting to get some reports of fish that are coming up a little bit further to the north. Talked with some guys who went out to some of the M reefs off Sarasota yesterday, and they caught some kingfish. Talked to some people who have been bottom fishing and had their baits cut off. We're presuming it was kingfish and not barracuda. But, you know, it just seems like it's time to do it. And if you want to go do that kind of fishing, that's cool. And one of the things I love about trolling is that, you know, you're in a moving boat. It gets warm out there. You know, even on a day like today, we're in the upper 80s. We're not quite to the 90s yet on most days, but it gets kind of warm. And trolling lets you turn on the air conditioning while you're running that boat, which is a nice thing to do.
Okay, Naples is 78.4 degrees, about 1.5 degrees above average. Key West is not reporting right now. But St. Petersburg is 75.7, which actually kind of unusual. Pensacola, 69 degrees. I would have thought more of the Kings. I was surprised when you said there were some south of us yet.
Yes, and there are actually quite a few south of us. The guys who are fishing off Sanibel have been reporting them for the last week or so, and I got some more reports yesterday on that. They're still catching them off Sanibel because... You're right, the water temperature is wrong for those kingfish to be out there as thick as they are right now. But
yeah, Naples, it's 78.4 degrees, St. Petersburg, 75, and that's telling me that those fish should be here or north, and I was just surprised to hear them south.
Yeah.
I mean, all the M reefs up there around the Sarasota area, I literally get that because, you know, they're moving with the water temperature, and 68 to 72 is your prime king mackerel.
Right, but they should be boogieing north pretty quickly. And I think what's been holding them here has been some bait fish. And unfortunately, it's not the textbook version of the bait fish that we kind of expect to see out there, where you have bait getting chased up to the surface and the birds are diving down on them and you're watching fish skyrocketing through them. That doesn't really seem to be going on very much out there. The bait pods that are out there are staying deeper. So I think what's happened is the water temperature. I mean, we saw that weird cold patch come through in March after such a warm February, and I think that prevented the bait fish from being able to migrate north like they normally would. And now they're doing it, they're just not going as fast as the water temperature has been warming up. They can't right. seem to keep up with it. I'm sure the kingfish could, but the kings need to go at the pace that their food is moving.
All right. Now, I was just looking at fishandfranks.com, weather and tides, and I went down to the Peace River button. And it's about 1.5 feet in Arcadia. We've got 134 cubic feet per second coming down. The average at this time of year is 246. So we're actually a bit below what normal is. And, you know, because it's been pretty dry. I would have thought with those fronts we had coming through that we had a lot of rain in that upper Peace River would have picked it up a little bit. But anyway, there's a little bit of fresh water coming down, but just a tiny, tiny bit.
It's a trickle.
And so that's why those tarpon are up on the river yet. And, you know, they're going to last there until, you know, that fresh water picks up. Then they'll kind of move off and then come back into it once the stuff starts flowing down. Because usually the second week of June is when we really kind of kick off. Usually there's some big storms coming around that time, and that'll start the river flowing. So king mackerel, what kind of lures are you pulling for king mackerel? What do you like to pull for king mackerel in the Gulf of Mexico? I didn't mean to take a sidetrack on
that's
you.
Perfectly fine. We're going to take an assortment of stuff with us tomorrow, but again, these guys are learning. They want to learn how do you troll. So we're going to be taking an assortment of different size spoons, a couple different sizes of planers, different size lipped plugs, cedar plugs, and we're going to go out there and we're going to troll all kinds of stuff around out there.
One of the things I always do when I'm trolling for kings is I have an activity lure out, a storm twitch stick, a small Yozuri, the little tiny bomber, something like that, a small Rapala 8, you know, an 08 Rapala.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of what you normally do, or are you just targeting straight out on the kings?
I'm going to probably be targeting straight out on the kings, but that's based on what he said he wanted to do. So,
yeah, I like an activity lure, and the surprising part about it for me is I've often got 20-pound plus kings and stuff on those little tiny lures, the Storm Twitch, the 08 Rapala, the little crystal minnows. I'm always surprised by how many extra fish I can catch during a day to give me a little more activity. Now, I hook them up on I'll use a 4,000 reel. Used to be 10-pound mono, 12-pound mono, because I'd get 160 yards. But with braid, I can get 230, 250 yards of line on there. It gives me a lot of 20-pound test to work with. I just back the drag off about a third more than I would normally do. So I don't set the drag to fight the fish when the lure's out. I set it just once it's holding the lure in place, I give it about another quarter half turn,
mm-hmm.
so that he can take off with that, not destroy my rod.
Right.
Because 20-pound test on a regular spinning rod, you can blow it up real easy.
Well, and not just not destroy your rod, but not take your rod overboard.
Exactly. Another good one.
See that a lot.
So to me, I like having those little lures when I troll. So let's move on to part three of the Josh the Fish Coach thing. You're going to do the trolling for king mackerel, but now what is there something that you would really think if somebody called up today and said, hey, I want you to take me and teach me how to catch a fish? What would you do? What would be your best bet outside of tarpon king mackerel?
Well, honestly, I'd probably be going bottom fishing for the lane snapper and the mixed bag of other stuff that's been out there, because that's just been incredible. And some of the lane snapper that we've been hearing about, you know, everybody goes out and while you're catching other stuff, you catch some lane snapper, and they're usually little guys in that 8-10 inch range, something like that. Some of the lanes that have been coming in over the last, and it's been probably the last two and a half months when people have been able to go out, because we've had some windy days that have prevented that. But 16, 17, almost 18-inch lane snapper, just enormous, big, fat lane snapper out there. Well, that's been the thing. It's been all within 15 miles.
Man, I can get my boat out there even a mediocre day.
Yeah.
All right, have to do that. What's the best bait?
Probably going to be going with shrimp, but I would always have an assortment of stuff when we go out there because, again, fish being fish, you don't know exactly what they're going to go for. So live shrimp would be my number one choice, but if I'm out there without squid and without some bait fish to cut up, then I really underprepared for the day.
Gotcha. All right. Anything going on in the harbor that seems a little bit exciting or interesting?
Well, the snook bite has picked up a little bit. The redfish have been pretty good. The trout have been kind of slow, actually. The guys who have been catching some bigger trout over the last few weeks have been coming back and complaining about catching mostly little guys. I will tell you that my good friend Captain Mike Myers sent me a photo yesterday of his guys holding up three redfish, and he said that was three out of the 18 that they caught yesterday, all on one spot. Somewhere in the Gasparilla Sound area.
Yeah, kind of. I've had five reports of that whole Gasparilla Sound area where there is some nice schools of redfish out there. Don't know if they're waiting for the adults or adults that came back early or adults that didn't leave, but nice fish.
Yeah, he said that the three they're holding up, which they did end up keeping, we're all in that 22 to 24 inch range, and he said after those, the majority of the fish they caught were just a little bit over the slot.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing, a lot of oversized fish. I was surprised at 22 to 24.
Well, you know how that works. If you've got a school with some mixed sizes in it, it's very common to catch the little ones first, because the big ones will kind of send the little ones out there as a test project. Go ahead. You eat it, and let's see what happens to you.
Yeah, I can tell you. I do that with the young folks around here.
I've seen you.
Yeah, why don't you try that for me? See how that goes. Well, yeah, let me know how it works.
You don't get old by being stupid.
Well, being lucky didn't hurt either.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay. So we've got some schools of reds out by Gasparilla Sound area. A lot of snappers, grunt, stuff like that near Shore Reef, king mackerel trolling, pretty good to the south, but I kind of had a hint that they're pretty much all over the place, but from south of us to north of us.
Yeah.
And tarpon just inside of the ICW, inside of Boca Grande Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Snook fishing east and west side, I'm hearing mixed reports. It's almost if you don't have white bait, you're really not going to do much. You can catch a lot of little fish on white bait. Some of the lures were working better on the snook. I've seen a couple of people saying that lure fishing is actually doing better for bigger fish than white bait.
Definitely. Definitely. I think that we've been doing white bait fishing for so long, and there's a lot of question about, you know, how smart are fish? How long do fish remember things? How well do they learn? I think, personally, and this is an opinion, that we catch so many little snook by feeding them white bait, by chumming them with white bait, and then catching them on white bait around the bushes, that the bigger fish have gotten much, much harder to catch that way because they were caught that way when they were little.
And repeatedly. Not
so.
Once, yeah. But they could have been caught 2, 3, 5, 10 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think that as they're bigger, they remember that kind of stuff. And, you know, just like us, as we get older, we don't like to repeat the mistakes of our youth.
Yes. I'm actually writing an article about that. So, fishing article about the pretty much the exact same thing there.
Sorry, I didn't mean to read your mind.
Yeah, I was just, okay. It just kind of goes along with the way everything's going kind of lately. Let's see. I'm trying to think, is there anything else we should go over here today? Any kind of generalized fishing reports?
We might want to mention the cobia.
Okay, let's do cobia.
Because the cobia reports have been trickling in, and they've been one of those things that comes in dribs and drabs. We did see a cobia while we were out there on the flats the other day. I think something may have just taken our bait. Let's let's see what we've got.
Set back, Josh! She's going! Shut up! Not yet!
But it was a bright, clear, sunny day, and it's hard to sneak up on a cobia when he's cruising along in about a foot of water right over the sandbar. So we were cruising the outside edge of the sandbar, hoping to come across some of those cobia that might be out there. We did come across quite a few manatees, which did not have cobia on them. We came across quite a few stingrays, which did not have cobia sitting on them, but it was a really good sign for the kind of things that we would expect cobia to be hanging out around.
Yeah, and the cobia fishing goes real hot then cold. Richie at the reef, he's like king of the reef. I mean, this guy can catch cobia when nobody else even knows they exist yet. And he's literally awesome, and he's got it pegged down. He knows what color, what this, what that. I'm showing him stuff. No, I tried that, but they just follow it. And no, I tried this, but you know, they'll do this. Very few people have it dialed in as well as him. I don't know, I haven't talked to him in the last day or so to find out if they're still there. A few days ago he got 15 at the reef.
Right. And usually when you hear reports like that, that's when everybody wants to go fishing. They want to go look for them. By the time you hear about it, it's already cooled off.
It's a parking lot.
Yeah.
It's a parking lot, yes. But you got to dial it in. I think one of the big things people don't do is they go out to do it, but I get so many people in that say, oh, well, fishing up north is so easy because I go here and I catch this, I go there and catch that. And I say, how many years did you do that? I said, pretty much most of your life?
Mm-hmm.
Last, what, 50, 60 years?
Right. You did that starting when you were 6, and now you're 64.
Yes. So you've got 50-some years of doing this. And I said, now you come down here, and you want to go out and do all that and have that kind of luck and that kind of activity in the month you've been in Florida.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
That's the expectation.
So, you know,
it's partly us. You know that, right?
Yeah, well, we tell people it's easy.
But we talk about, you know, you can do this and you can catch all this, and we do the fishing reports and we tell people here's what's going on, and people just expect it to be the way that it's talked about in the fishing report or the way they see it in the photos in the magazine and stuff like that. And it's, you know, you're seeing somebody's lucky day. The people who give us those fishing reports are the people who went out and caught. A lot of times, the guys who go out and don't catch anything, they keep their big mouths shut. They don't tell us, we went out and we caught nothing. So you only hear about the people who are going out and being successful. So, you know, you're basically trying to live somebody else's Facebook, Instagram life.
Yep.
And it never works out that way. But trust me, their life isn't that good either.
Yeah, I got to know that. But the main thing you have to do is a little bit of practice. You got to get used to it. You got to work at it a little bit. You can't. It's pretty unrealistic to sit there and just say, okay, I'm going to go out and catch cobia. And beginner's luck is awesome. But when the beginner's luck wears off, then now you got to learn it a little bit. Take your time. Look at the differences. When you did, you took a lure and threw it and landed a little too close to them, and the fish spooked off. Another time you cast the lure and you went past them, 10 feet in front of them, 15, 20 feet past them, reeled it in slowly so the cobia and the lure came right across in front of them, about a foot, 2 foot in front of their face. They just turned around, followed it, hopefully ate it. These are things that you're looking for, little tricks. What happened? If it's a bright, sunny, warm day, can you get the cobia's heading south along the bar. Can you fire up and get your boat anchored up in a place where that cobia is likely to become and just hang out under your boat in the shade? I've actually used my boat as the cobia attractor that way. Just anchoring the boat up, getting the baits on the hook, setting them over to the side, not even casting them out. Maybe cast one or two out away from there, but I got a couple just hanging right next to the boat, and get everybody real still. And you see the cobia coming, and look at all that shade. Goes up to hang out underneath the boat. You're just holding the baits right next to the boat. Before you know it, boom, fish on.
But it's hard because you got to plan. You got to play chess with that fish, and once you've played it, then you got to wait and be calm and be quiet.
Oh, and that's tough.
That's so hard.
Because when you're in a foot of water, if you bang on that deck at all while that fish is coming up, he just turns around and runs.
Yeah, and then you get excited.
Sneaky, sneaky,
because
sneaky.
You see him coming, and he's coming towards us, and here he comes. He's almost here.
Yeah, and it's 60 pounds. Oh, my God, look at that fish. Okay.
And you're like, shut up.
Anyway, I think that's going to about do it for Josh and Frank this week. I appreciate you doing this, Josh.
Yay, I appreciate you doing it, Frank.
Yeah, I know. We're just so appreciative. Okay, we're both so tired. It's been a long week. We're going to be out in Englewood this weekend, aren't we?
Yes, out in Englewood at the, what are we calling that thing?
I don't know.
It's some kind of a nautical
festival,
yard
nautical
sale or something. It's a thing that they do in Englewood.
And we're going to be out there giving fishing seminars. Josh and I are going to be out there. We think Captain Kale may show up with us. But come on out and see us in Englewood.
Oh, so we're doing fishing seminars out there?
Yes, fishing seminars. You don't get to do flowers.
I was doing financial planning.
You were doing financial planning?
But that's fine. I'll switch to fishing. I'll change my notes.
I was thinking flowers for me, but then, you know, fish, flowers, you know, it just got confused.
And I think Kale was doing home brewery, so I'll let him know.
I'll bet. Okay. Anyway, we'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing.
Bye.
First time we did it, I was scared to death. She snuck out in that cotton dress. Jumped on in and we drove to the lake. Put her hand on my knee and said, I can't wait. I had everything we needed in the bed of my truck. Turns out my baby loves to fish. She wants to do it all the time. Early in the morning, in the middle of the night. She's hooked and now she can't get enough. Man, that girl sure loves to fish.
You guys need to go
that,
somewhere and buy the song.
To do.
This is
that
Craig
was okay,
Campbell,
cause I did too.
Fish.
She
Craig
always
Campbell.
Wants to go down by the dam, and I love how she looks with that rod in her hand. If they ain't biting, she don't give up. Turns out my baby loves to fish.